things that we're proud of or things that we're ashamed of, God, we surrender it all to you because you desire all of us. So God, in this moment, may you humble our hearts and make our hearts receptive and willing to your word and to what your heart has for us, God. God, I pray for Pastor Michael that you would give him your words, that you would help him to speak your truth, that they simply not be his, but be what you desire, God. May you lead him in this moment, and may you make us receptive to what you have to say, God. So once again, we thank you for who you are, and we acknowledge how worthy you are. So we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Would you pray with me once more? Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come to worship you this morning, indeed we surrender ourselves before you. We even surrender our time to you. We surrender this next hour into thy hand, Lord. We surrender ourselves to your word. So Lord, we ask that you will speak clearly to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this message is Beautiful in His Time. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He, meaning God, has made everything beautiful in its time. This spiritual truth indeed has endured all the ages. The first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes is one of the most beautiful poems of all poetic history. These verses, as you know, have spawned many songs. Gospel writer Frank Hernandez, in 1996, with his wife, singer Betsy, put these words into a song. He entitled Beautiful in Its Time. Folk singer Peter Seeger in the 60s, some of you are probably too young to remember, had this song, Turn, Turn, Turn. Huh? Some of you older folks may remember this song, which is a fairly close adaptation of these words of King Solomon. I'm a child of the 60s. In the 60s, it was a turbulent years in this country. The Vietnam War was raging on. Only by God's grace, I was able to escape the draft. And there was a strong anti-war sentiment during those years. So Peter Seeger wrote these words, wrote a song, Turn, Turn, Turn. He tweaked it. He added the word, a time of peace. I swear it's not too late. It's not too late, is it, for peace? So in contrast to this secular adaptation, Maranatha Music in 2007 published a song, In His Time. It's a classic, In His Time. In His Time, in His Time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as you are teaching me your way. And I'll do just what you say in your time. As you notice the lyrics of this song, it's a prayer, isn't it? And may I suggest that as we approach this passage with this attitude in our hearts, attitude of obedience, that we too pray that we will make most of our time and trust God that He will make our time beautiful. Time is indeed beautiful in its time or in God's time. Our text this morning is from Ecclesiastes, the first 11 verses of chapter 3. So if you have your Bible open, you can turn that with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we can read it together. This is the NIV translation. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burdens God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. In this passage, Solomon lists 14 seemingly unrelated statements. They are pair, as you notice, or what we call couplets. One negative and one positive. See, Solomon uses this poetic technique called mirism, M-E-R-I-S-M, mirism. Mirism is a pairing of words in the two opposite extremes, right? Yet imply in this is everything in between these two opposite extremes. So the statement, a time to be born, a time to die, means more than the moment of birth or the moment of death. It implies that everything in between life and death. The most important word in this passage, of course, is time, right? At least in the NIV translation, occurred 29 times. In addition, there are other time-related words like seasons, eternity, and forever. Now, the central theme of this passage is that God controls time. God controls time. As you know, our God is an eternal God. So time has no meaning to God. He's outside of time. The scripture says a day is like 1,000 years, right? 1,000 years to him is like a day. If God is outside of time, therefore God controls time. Everything on earth has a purpose under God's sovereign will and under God's sovereign control. We human beings, on the other hand, we live in time. We're subject to time. We all know that. Time affects our whole being and everything that we are. And yet everything is beautiful in God's time. My outline this morning is printed in your bulletin. Time affects our body, verses 1 and 3. Time affects our soul, and time affects our spirit. You know, on first reading, these couplets seem to be just random pairs. In fact, I have a hard time categorizing these 14 couplets. So I'm indebted to Dr. Jeremiah, one of my favorite Bible teachers. He categorized these 14 couplets according to the body, soul, and spirit. Of course, as you notice, these are just general categorizations, and they overlap with one another. In fact, some people do not even say that there is a difference between soul and spirit, right? The argument of the dichotomy versus the trichotomy. The people believe in a dichotomy, meaning that the body, our being consists of a physical body and a spirit dash soul. And the trichotomy people think, no, our being consists of body, soul, and spirit. Of course, this categorization is not inspired. It's just for the convenience of discussion. So first of all, let's look at the first one. Time affects our body, the first three verses. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heavens. So Solomon begins this passage affirming that there is a time for every purpose under heavens. And they're not just random times, but time control. Time is known by God. The first one, Solomon, this is birth and death. Right. On any given moment, a baby is born and someone dies on this earth. It is this circle of life that I talked about several weeks ago. You know, when I was a medical intern, spending a lot of times in the hospital, especially those 32-hour shifts. I think they outlawed that now, right? They no longer have 30-hour shifts. But when I was in practice, we had to suffer four straight shifts. And occasionally, we had one of those slow nights in the hospital. So I would purposely walk by the newborn nurseries, just get my mind off other stuff, and look at those beautiful newborn babies. Yet you walk down another corridor, there was a morgue. And I befriended this guy who was in charge of the morgue, and he would tell me if there's an autopsy going on, and if I have time, I would drop by and observe an autopsy. This is a cycle of life. Being born and die. Solomon says there is a time to born and there is time to die. Both have a purpose under God's control. Both are beautiful in his time. In fact, yesterday I attended a memorial service for one of our relatives. Even that time is beautiful and God had his purpose. As I mentioned earlier, implied in these two extremes of birth and death is all the living in between. You know, there are a lot of livings, isn't it, between birth and death. In fact, immediately after birth, this body, what, needs food, needs nutrient to grow. So Solomon goes on to say, hey, there's a time to plant. There's a time to uproot, or meaning to harvest the crop. Every farmer knows the planting season and the season for harvest. Solomon also concludes that there is a time to kill and a time to heal. This can refer to war. Many generations in the past, and including our generation, know the brutality of war. Yet there is time to fight and time for reconciliation. Or this can refer to sickness and disease. As a former radiation oncologist, I'm painfully aware that some of my cancer patients, they die. And yet some are healed. Regardless, it's beautiful in God's time. As we go through life, there is also a time for building up, a time for tearing down. Isn't that right? In our younger years, we build up. We build up our physical body, build up your family, your career, having started a family with babies, time to build up. Yet as we age, whether we like it or not, there's also a breakdown of our body. Medical science tells us that our human body is completely rebuilt every 7 years. With literally billions and billions of cells, they die and they replenish or replace. Unfortunately, with time and aging, the tearing down process outpaces the building up process. So our skins get wrinkled, our hairs get white, our muscles get weaker. It is a natural cycle of life. See, time does affect our physical body, isn't it? And God is involved in every season, in every time of our lives. As I mentioned earlier, God is an eternal God, and therefore he is outside of this, what we call, time continuum. But God is not outside of our lives. He is outside of time, but he is not outside of our lives. God is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives, even in death, pain, and suffering. And the Bible says that God knows every number of hair on our head. Does that remember that passage? You know, as I lose more and more hair, God is keeping track of that number, rapidly changing and decreasing number. Every time I shower, I see a bunch of hair on the drain. God knows. He's keeping track. See, God is all-powerful God and an all-loving God. He controls all of our seasons of life, even in our seasons of pain and suffering. See, God has a purpose for everything, and everything is beautiful in its time and in his time. Time affects not only our body, but also affects our soul. Verses 4 and 5. Solomon continues to write, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time for mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Again, implying in these opposite extremes is everything in between. See, time affects the whole spectrum of our emotions. God is in control of our good times and the bad times and everything else in between, the neutral times, if you will. I'm sure that we all have had times when your tears just flow, right? And yet there are times where you laugh and giggle with joy and happiness. See, God controls both times. You know, laughing is good for your health. So laugh, folks. Laughing reduces stress. Right? It lowers our cortisol, our stress hormone level. In fact, Proverbs writes, Solomon says, laughing is a good medicine for us. As we go through different seasons of our emotional life, God is also in control. You know, there are times we just want to stay home, to be alone, perhaps to mourn, to grieve. And there are times we feel like going out, dancing, enjoying with friends. Whether we're laughing or dancing, weeping, mourning, both, they all are beautiful in God's hand. See, our God is always near all of us, whether in the sadness of life or in the, what I call, the gladness of life. There's also time for embracing and time for distancing. There are times to hug someone. And there are times it would be inappropriate to hug. You know, the Middle Eastern culture openly shows their affection with hugs and kisses, right? Oftentimes, that's how they say hello and say goodbye. But our culture is different. So there are times to embrace. There are times not to embrace. There are times that we are to say hello to godly things, to good things. And there are times that we are to say goodbye to evil things. There are times to embrace the truth, and there are times to reject falsehood. There are also times to scatter or to clear the stones, physical stones as well as the emotional stones of our lives. And there are times to gather them to rebuild. And we're casting away stones and gathering them is quite interesting, at least in the land of Palestine. I don't know if you have visited Israel or not. If you visit Israel, you will notice the whole landscape is quite rocky. A farmer must clear the land of the rocks and stones for planting. And they use the gathered stones, what? To build houses, to build walls. See, it is their idea of reclaim, recycle, and reuse. On the other hand, if you want to hurt your enemy, you spread stones on the land to make it unusable. This was one of their military strategies. In fact, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 3, the Moabites invaded the land of Canaan. And Prophet Elijah actually told the people, put stones on the ground. In fact, verse 25, that's what it says. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. During the Civil War, there was a scorched earth policy, if you say the history right. When the South, when the Union soldiers come, they would destroy everything in their path to prevent the Union soldiers take the benefit of the land. So there's a time to scatter stones, and there is time to keep the stones. Sometimes it's also we have to let go of our emotional stones, the baggage that we carry around, and let God rebuild our lives. This too is beautiful in His time. Yes, time affects our body, time affects our soul, and time affects our spirit. At least according to Solomon here. Verses 6 through 8, let me read them again. A time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. According to Dr. Jeremiah, these last six couplets affects our spirit or our inner person. Of course, you can say, hey, you see overlaps between the soul and spirit. Right? Again, theologians debate whether there's a difference between soul and spirit or not. Now, whether we keep or throw things away, whether we love or to hate, to war or peace, to speak or not, they all affect our inner person. It affects our spirit. You know, in this life, sometimes we gain, don't we? And sometimes we lose. Sometimes we lose money, and sometimes we gain money. But some of you, sometimes you gain weight. Sometimes you lose weight. Sometimes we lose our loved ones. Sometimes we lose our privileges, our rights. Sometimes we lose our joy, our passions. Sometimes we lose our hair, don't we? There are times to keep and times to throw away. If you ever need a biblical justification for your garage sale, this is it. A time to keep, a time to throw away. Solomon says there are time for war and time for peace. You might ask Pastor Michael, is there ever time that we should go to war? You might have heard of the just war theory, have you? The just war theory? Oh, you mentioned it one time. Yeah. The Muslim extremists call it what? Jihad is our holy struggle. Of course, the theory of just war has been debated for centuries in the church and in society in general. But whether it is war or peace, God is still in control. Even this aspect of human life, war and peace, is also under the sovereign control of God. Yes, we all want peace, I'm sure. But there are times we may have to fight and confront and defeat what is evil. A similar question to ask, is there time to hate? Yes, there's time, always time for love, but is there a time to hate? In the scriptures, we'll see that God hated many things, didn't he? God hated sin. God hated injustice, evil, and unrighteousness. If there's time to love and time to hate, then brothers and sisters, let us learn to love what is godly, to love what is good, and to hate what is evil. The Bible teaches that we are to hate the sin, right? But what? To love the sinner. Is that right? Similarly, there is a time to tear down and a time to mend. There are times that we have to tear down inappropriate relationships. Relationships like those outside of marriage. The media tells you differently. Hollywood tells you differently. But the scripture tells us this is inappropriate time to tear down that relationship. It's also time to tear down destructive relationships. Oh, young people, may I encourage you to choose your friend carefully, isn't it? That's your mom and dad always advise you, isn't it? There are relationships that are not good for us. There are time to tear down and time to mend. Yes, there are time to build up healthy relationships. Relationships to help us grow and mature as a person, as a Christian and believer. There are times to tear down our friendship with the world. The Bible said friendship with the world is enmity with God. Lastly, Solomon says there is a time to be silent and time to speak. Yes, there are times that we need to speak up for the truth, don't we? There are times when we need to speak up for the unborn because they cannot speak for themselves. There are times when we need to speak up for the disenfranchised, the persecuted, the discriminated because they're not even allowed to speak. Yet there are also time to be silent, to remain quiet. In fact, Proverbs warns of the liability of talking too much. Is that right? When you talk too much, you often put your foot in your mouth. You heard of that term before. I think one of the problems with our current president is sometimes he talks too much. Sometimes he needs to learn to be silent. Proverbs tells us sometimes we can be ensnared by our own words. Proverbs 17:27-28. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Why Solomon's is correct. There are times to speak and times to remain silent. Well, how do I summarize this passage? Beautiful in his time. Solomon teaches that there is time and season for everything under the heaven. But as we've been talking about, we are to live our lives not under the sun, right? But we are to live our lives above the sun. When we live our lives from the heavenly perspective, then we know that God is in control of everything. Both extremes of the spectrums of life and everything in between as well. See, God is all powerful, God is all loving, and he controls all things from birth to death and all living, all lives in between. Even pain, suffering, death, and war is within his permissive will. Even as we live our season of life, we live according to God's purpose, according to his plan. God is in control of all season and all aspects of our life. And one can be sure that God will be faithful to all those whom he loves and whom he controls. Let me close this message with the words from the song entitled In His Time that I mentioned earlier. At the beginning of the sermon, I quoted the first verse. In his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way. I'll do just what you say in your time. So I think it's good for us to conclude with the second verse of this song. In your time, you make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time. Be to you a lovely thing in your time. Let's pray with me, brothers and sisters. Even our time, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we learn to submit, surrender our lives, even our time to you. For we know that in your time, everything is beautiful. So, Lord, teach us again to learn to live life not under the sun, but above the sun perspective. We know, Lord, someday in your time, you will come back for us. Someday in your time, we will see you face to face. We want to thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand with us to sing this song in response to the message?
Joy, you're the reason that I see.
Faithful, that you are a God that we can place our faith in and our hope in and our trust in, God. God, teach us how to wait on your timing and how to know your timing and to know when to move and when to be still, God. Help our hearts to be sensitive to your will and your desires, God, and help us to know how to glorify your name, to know what it means to be your followers and to be your disciples, God. God, may we know your word so that we can have confirmation in knowing when to move and when to be still and when to speak and when to not. God, help us to meet with you and know your heart in that quiet place. God, and give us courage in moments that we do need to act. So we thank you that you are all-knowing, because there is so little that we know. And so we pray all these things in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Thank you, Penny. We have a special Mother's Day breakfast right now, and so if you, not right now, but when you head into the fellowship hall, on the left-hand side, there are some special tables with special decorations and special foods that will be enjoyed by the special moms today. Mom's Day is so special that we're doing it two weekends in a row. And so we hope that you enjoy it. And so at this time, if we could ask Sir Sane and Carl and some of the youth to go prepare. There are potentially some foods in the refrigerator and in the kitchen. And so let's not forget those. And so again, the moms, and oh, also if you can hear me as you're heading out, there are some moms that actually are teaching Sunday school, so if we could prepare at least five plates that are ready to scarf down, that would be wonderful. And so again, we appreciate the moms, and we hope and pray that you enjoy the great breakfast that has been prepared for you. We do have Sunday school today. The classes will continue to be, the youth will be in the fellowship hall, the adult English classes in the classroom behind me. We have a special announcement to round out today as well. Pastor Mike, as you may have seen, has been with us for quite some time, and both he and Priscilla are going to be officially members of the church today. So if I could have a... Elder David, when you become a member, you get put on the preaching circuit, so please look forward to that. No, just kidding.
Pastor Michael, if he could come up and join us. So a lot of you guys may know that we first got to know Pastor Michael during our transition, and we invited him to be our regular speaker. And so we're overjoyed, actually, that he is now officially going to be part of the SKC family, and we're inviting him and just celebrating him as being the newest member of our SKC family. So welcome, Pastor Michael, and we're going to ask Derek if he can give us a prayer of thanksgiving for Pastor Michael.
Sure. This bar hits. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for today. Thank you so much for just being our God and being sovereign in all our things. Thank you for the time of rain that you give us, but also, Lord, thank you for the time of sun. Thank you for today's sunshine to be upon us, to warm us, to restore our hope, to restore our just everything that you give us that we're so appreciative of. And today, Lord, we want to appreciate Pastor Michael and Priscilla today. Thank you for this time, Lord, that you've given us to get to fellowship with them, to get to know them, and that they can get to know us. Thank you for their decision to become members of ECC so that we can welcome them into this family. We just give you all the praise and the glory today, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, take a picture of that. All right. Wasn't that great? Yes. New members, moms, great Sunday. So I encourage you guys after a benediction and silent prayer to continue to welcome each other and slowly move your way over to the fellowship hall so that they could have a couple more minutes to prepare. But I know that many of you moms, as I mentioned, have to teach, so please feel free to head over there and enjoy as much of the breakfast as you can. So with that, if we could ask our newest member, Pastor Mike, to share the benediction. Thank you.
Should we all rise and receive a benediction, please? May the love of our Father, who is our eternal God, who lives outside of our time, may the sacrifice and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much, he came to our time and our space to die for us. May the ministry of the Holy Spirit continue to enable us to experience the joy of eternity even in our time on earth. Amen.
Please be seated. You're dismissed after a moment of silent prayer. Thank you.